Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Show host. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson show. She is an author, and she wrote, Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th commandment that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with world high stakes golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware, because you are entering the no-whining world of January Jones.
Now let me ask you a question. Have you ever been called the B word? The B word, and I don't mean beautiful. Would you like to learn more about what you think the B word actually means? You know, the B word can mean a lot of things to a lot of different people. Tell me, have you ever thought about having a blueprint for your business? Can you imagine being a woman in the workplace these days? It's really challenging. Do you know what empowerment means, what it really, really means? And when was the last time you heard about re-strategizing or reinventing yourself? Or better yet now, would you like to meet someone who has some of the answers that you're looking for today? Now, are you ready to learn how to be successful, how to be successful in the business world? If you can answer yes or maybe to any of these questions, then you are in the right place, and I would like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Today, I will be introducing you to my guest. She is a success coach extraordinaire. She's been on my show many times, and I love having her visit with us. She will provide us with wonderful, informative, and inspirational lessons and some really, really great advice. I'm pleased to announce that our show now has over 1.6 million listeners to date. Also, LinkedIn has announced that my profile was one of the top 5% most viewed during 2012. Now, let me tell you about my guest today. She is the CEO president of RK Marketing Solutions. She earned a doctorate of business administration in marketing, and she has completed PhD coursework in leadership and organization change. She also holds a Master of Business Administration in Marketing and Management, a Bachelor of Business Administration in Marketing, and an Associate of Arts in Marketing Management. My guest is affiliated with several prestigious universities and has instructed over 350 courses online. She is a popular speaker on marketing and business topics, and she is currently featured on Great Woman Speakers, Great African American Speakers, Marketing Experts, Black Experts, Guru.com, and Savor the Success. My guest has received honorary distinction in the Who's Who among academics and professionals and the Who's Who among executives and professionals. She is the recipient of various awards, including the coveted Provost Circle Award and the Top Faculty Recognition Designation. I am so very, very pleased to have back on our show Dr. K.B. Green. Hi, Dr. K. How are you today?
Hi, January. Thank you again for having me. I'm great.
Wonderful. I always look forward to having you on the show. You know, you have such an interesting success story yourself. Before we get into talking about your wonderful, wonderful book, which is called, I've been called the B word, Now What Do I Do? 13 Rules for the New Age Professional Woman. Before we go to your book, would you share a little bit about your success story, where you started out and what you had to overcome to become successful?
Well, January, just like many of us, and I tell everyone, I started out just like everyone else. I was this, here I am, this wide-eyed kid, and I'm trying to figure out what it is I wanted to do after high school. I didn't go straight to the university. I didn't take the traditional route. I was always this unconventional type of girl. Uh-huh. So I went to a two-year. Actually, I went to a technical college in Georgia, which is where I'm from, and I started out just taking general business courses. I wanted to get a feel for what I was good at, and I really realized that early on I was pretty good at sales and communication and things of that nature, so I decided to go with an associate's in marketing management.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty soon after that, after I received my associate's degree, I began my four-year academic career on the university level. And I really realized then that marketing was probably where I wanted to be. I was pretty good with selling. I could do research, that type of thing. And so I really started to get into my niche, so to speak, but I wasn't quite there yet. My first, career out of college was actually in sales. And from there, that first time that I went in the room and I was able to make my first sale, I really realized that marketing and sales and really understanding consumers was, again, where I needed to be. But I still wasn't there yet, again. Mm-hmm. And so for a couple years there, January, I held several positions in terms of sales and coordinator, and I eventually just climbed my way up to marketing manager for the university system in the Atlanta area. And from there, I thought to myself one day, I said, I'm just not fulfilled. I had capped out at the marketing manager level at that particular position, and I just didn't feel that fulfillment that I wanted to fulfill. I didn't go home every day, and I was genuinely happy. And for me, that's a huge thing. And so when I thought about that, I said, what is it that I really wanted to do? And that was the brainchild of RKG Marketing Solutions. And so I started out just literally making calls, talking to different small businesses, telling them what I could do, how I could do it, and how I could actually increase revenue. And I was literally a one-woman show initially starting out. And it literally was. So I started this thing from the ground up, and here I am on the phone, you know, and I'm getting these potential clients, and I'm just setting up meetings, and I'm crossing my fingers and hoping for the best. And lo and behold, years later, we have RKG Marketing Solutions, and we're a multicultural marketing firm, and we specialize in really creating these cutting-edge marketing solutions that really serve the client's needs. I try to make all of my clients very happy by really individualizing and customizing their particular marketing needs.
Well, you certainly are doing a wonderful job. But, you know, I'm curious to know where all of this self-esteem and inspiration came from. When you were a child, who were your early mentors and who encouraged you and got you going on this road to success?
Definitely, I would have to say my dad, number one. This guy, January, my dad, he would, if I told him that I was going to the moon tomorrow, he'd say, well, okay, when will you be back? He literally is that guy. He has no boundaries, no limits. This guy thinks I can do anything. And so for me, it started very early on. My mom, the same way. I had great grandparents. My granddad was instrumental. I can remember him jump roping for heart with me when I was in the third grade. So, I mean, I just had all this huge family unit that was really instrumental in being supportive and being really encouraging and so forth and so on as I moved forward, especially the influence of my father. And so I could always depend on him when it was time to, when I had those days, and I think we all have them, January, where it's just like, you know, this isn't for me. I can't find my niche. I don't know what I'm good at. And he would always say, he told me, he said, when you find it, you're going to know and you're going to be the best at it. And I used to always say, you think so, Dad? And he'd say, yes, I'm positive of it. And, I mean, that's him. He literally that, I mean, instilled from a child. And just watching the people around me, I've had some great mentors, teachers. I've had people who actually have just taken me under their wing. I remember, as I said, my first career, there was a gentleman by the name of Sam Crosley, and we were in the doing the sales together. And he literally just held my hand and showed me how to do sales. I've had great professors that literally just walked me through certain aspects of creating or understanding marketing research or allowing me to have an intern. So I've been very fortunate to have, even my first grade teacher, I can remember, I think her name was Miss Farley, I believe. And she'd always say, she'd say, you're one of the best and the brightest in the classroom. And so I would always get this really good feedback, and I would just feed off of it and always want to do the best and be the best and, you know, get the top times table awards and get the best attendance awards and the higher honor roll. So I always had this quest to just, you know, be the best that I could be on a personal level and not try to be like anyone else, but just be really unique and be the best person that I could be. And I got that from all the different people, I think, that crossed my path. I just picked up some things from some of these people, and they were really just encouraging, incredibly encouraging. And I drew so much positive energy from them.
Well, you know, you're such a positive person, and I know that when you are positive, well, like myself, positive people attract other positive people. But the reality is, as we both know, every road to success has a lot of bumps and a lot of things that set us back a little bit. When you look back on your career, what do you remember as some of the biggest setback you ever had?
I remember January. I remember my when I moved to the Atlanta area, because I'm originally from the Savannah area.
Okay.
And when I moved there, I remember I packed up my little car, and the only thing that I had in my little car were my clothes, and I love these decorative trees. I'm huge on these decorative, you know, the house trees or the apartment, the trees. I'm big on that. So I had one of those and all my clothes, and I left on the road to success. Now, granted, I had no idea where I was going and how I was going to get there, but I left on that road to success. And so from that base to this one, I never forget that when I left, I literally had to build it from the ground up. Mm-hmm. And so when I think about businesses and when I think about the drawbacks and the setbacks and all the above, I always remember back to that Saturday morning when I packed up my bags and I told my dad, I said, I'm going to start my career. And he said, you don't have to leave, you know. I said, I know, but I have to leave. Mm-hmm. And I left, and I never looked back. And from that day forward, that's one of those things that really set in my mind. I remember having my first apartment, and I literally had nothing in there except a television. And I would just sit there and watch the television, and I would read my marketing books, and and I had my laptop. And I would complete my work and all of the above. And I sat there. I said, you know what? I said, I would always tell myself, this is only the beginning. And I would always say, and I say this to my clients now, and I say it to my students, and even when I'm speaking, I'll always tell them, I say, this is only a snapshot of where you're going to be in life. You take a picture here because you're going to be able to look back on this, and you'll see something different moving forward. And I always would tell myself that.
That would be a lot of fun.
That has literally become a theme in my life because it literally has progressed so significantly, you know, just putting in the work and the effort.
Oh, thank you for sharing. This is such a fantastic success story that you're sharing with our listeners tonight. You know, we're going to take a break and hear about your host. And when we come back, we're going to talk about your wonderful book, I've Been Called the B Word. And when we're going to come back, I'm going to try to guess what some of the B words might have meant. We'll be right back with Dr. Kay Green.
Have you ever met someone who was unforgettable? Someone who touched your heart and soul. People who have faced difficult problems. People who have fearlessly shared their stories. People who have priceless personalities. I've been fortunate to host a talk show, and it's been my privilege to interview hundreds of guests. They've shared their stories, their struggles, their secrets, and their successes. In my new ebook, we're talking about people dealing with incest, molestation, runaway kids, child abuse, drug abuse, polygamy, scandals, and starting over. Then there are my guests dealing with difficult physical struggles such as blindness, cancer, and birth defects. All of them have been exciting, eclectic, and energizing. They've amazed, amused, and even astonished me. I have adored getting to meet them and look forward to sharing them with you in my new ebook. Now you can go to Amazon.com to get your introductory offer of Priceless Personalities, Success Stories Shared by January Jones for only $4.99. Do it today.
Well, I'm so proud to announce that my ebook was just published at Amazon yesterday, and now I am so pleased to promote it and share it with everyone, and I hope you all go and sign up and read it. It's a fun book, and it's got a lot of great stories. Now, Dr. Kay, let's talk about, I've been called the B word. Now, what do you think the B word means? Let's talk about it. Does it mean baffled, ballistic, beautiful, belligerent, benevolent, bitch, bizarre, black, blessed, blonde, boastful, bold, boring, bossy, brash, bright, or brilliant? It can mean so many things, can't it?
Oh, of course, January. The funny thing is about the whole B word concept is that when I started the book, I started I wanted to do something very creative, and I wanted to do something I know that focused on women, and I know that really chronicled the stories of various women in various industries and what their perception was in being in their industry. So I started out with the traditional B word. You know, I love the title. I thought it was very, very just amazing, cutting edge. I loved it. And so, but when I started to really speak with the women, and I talk with them, they were so dynamic in their personalities and so really very different in different age ranges and backgrounds and all the above. And so what I wanted to do was take that traditional B word that, of course, many of the women in business, it doesn't matter if you're in entrepreneurship or you're climbing that corporate ladder, we've been branded that, many of us, or many women, period, because of the level of success or the way they may be perceived or whatever the case may be. So in the context of the rule book, I wanted it to really focus on the diversity that exists, that you don't have to just be that B word, but you can also be, you know, very bold and very brash and very boring in a sense, you know, if you're that. And, you know, just all of the above. So it's not about being that traditional B word, but that can be one of your words. We had one of the ladies that actually said, yes, I am that B word. And so, but it can be anything. Yeah, literally, it can be anything. So it can be about, you know, being bold or bossy or brash or what have you. It's all the things that really describe you as a person and as a woman today.
What's a fascinating title. I love the title. It has so many amazing possibilities. Now let's talk a little bit about the 13 rules for the new age professional woman. Let's kind of briefly go over what some of those rules are, what my listeners who are women out there who want to become successful like you in the business world, what do they need to know, Dr. Kay?
Oh, my gosh. I wrote these rules. I developed these rules because I thought about myself, and I said, gosh, wouldn't it be helpful to have a blueprint, like a little guide that'll help me or even give some insight, because I'm huge on trial and error, but if I had a little manual that would help me, that would have helped me, that would have been great as well. And so with the rules, definitely developing a certain mind frame. I think when you're in business, and I know that you know this as well, January, because you're in business and you've been in business for years, it's all about developing a certain mind frame, you know, embracing that mind frame that I'm going to show you. I'm going to show everyone what I can really do and what I'm capable of. And then also I talk about setting goals. That's another rule that we have in here, setting attainable goals. Like I always tell people that Rome wasn't built in one day. Uh-huh. So let's, everything that we do in life, we always do it in increments. And it's okay to do that. And it's okay to climb to the rung one step at a time, because it's going to show you that you're making progress and that you're moving forward, and you'll start to build your esteem, and you'll get better, and eventually you'll be at the top. I also talk about finding your niche. Go ahead.
That is such a great advice because, you know, the reality, as you and I both know, no one is an overnight success. It takes time and setting your goals. And I love your advice about being realistic. That is such great advice for young women out there.
Liking yourself and liking who you are, that authenticity, that is what sells. People like you being you. And a lot of people don't really understand that, you know. But who wants to have 200 carbon copies of something else walking around? I think it's so important to just be yourself. It doesn't matter how quirky you are, you know, how weird you may think you are or how different you may think you are. Embrace it and be authentic. And that's one of the things that I really, in life, I've come to grips with, hey, I like Dr. King. You know, that's just who I am. I like her. I love her personality. And this is just who I'm going to be. You know, love it or hate it, this is me. And I love it. And I think that's more important because, I can sleep at night. I'm happy when I wake up in the morning and I see myself and I'm like, okay, this is Dr. K. This is who she is. She's going to be the best that she can be today. Mm-hmm. And, I just think it's so important. And I also talk about finding your niche, which I think with a lot of us today, and I say us, I always say us because, at times we've all had those thoughts where we want to do what everyone else is doing because it's hot at the moment. But the thing is, there's always, you want to avoid the herd. And when I say herd, you know how everyone runs towards where the shiny lights are and we think that there's the gold mine at the end of the tunnel. It's not going to be like that. And I think it's important for each of us as individuals to really find what it is you are inherently good at. If you're the best basket weaver in the state, then that's what you should be focusing on and really trying to create your own blue ocean in that area. And if you're good in accounting or finance or business or engineering or whatever the case may be, really hone in on your skill and develop it and make it the best, and you become the best in your field. So finding your niche is not about just you planting yourself in the market. It's about creating the market around you.
Well, you know, I think it's also important to share your thoughts with me on, I think it's important to find out who your market is, to find out who you're reaching out to, and it's also very important when you're creating your niche to find your passion, because if you don't have a passion for what you're doing, you're not going to be successful. Don't you agree with me?
Oh, I couldn't agree more, January. I can't tell you how many of my clients, my students, just people that I run into and sometimes I consult with, and some people just call and they talk to me on the phone just randomly. And the funny thing is, when I'm talking to them, I can't tell you how many people are so unhappy with what they're doing. And I said, well, why do it? They said, well, I'm paying the bills, of course. I said, well, understandably, and that's understandable. But I said, well, you need to be making and taking the steps to find out what it is, getting that passion, sticking to it, committing to getting into what it is you really like, something that you're really passionate about. Because you don't want to live life with regret, the what if.
What if
I could have become this? Or what if I could have accomplished this? We don't want to do that. I think it's important that we make and take the steps to do what it is we really want to do.
Now, after we find our niche, what's the next step? What do we need? What's the next rule for us?
Well, rule number 4 talks about understanding the power of you. I think that's my favorite rule. I always write about branding. I don't know if you can tell this, but I love branding. And because we're all personal brands walking around here.
Right.
I tell everybody, I said, every time you put out that resume, every time you're going into an interview, even having conversations with people that you know or you don't know, you're selling your brand. Mm-hmm. And so when I talk about the power of you, it's all about being authentic, and it's all about understanding what it is, what are you really selling in terms of your brand, and understanding that the skills that you possess and the things that you're good at and the things that you can do that other people can't do or the things that you can do best, that's all about understanding the power of you and selling your own personal brand. You have to know that you have value. And you have to be able to convey that value to other people in order for people to buy into your brand.
Oh, absolutely. You know, branding is so important, especially in today's marketplace. I find that now with all the social networking, websites, everything that's going on, there is such an amazing opportunity for women, men, anyone who's listening to become successful. Don't you agree?
Oh, of course. Social media is free advertising, January. I tell everyone, I said, it's the best thing since sliced bread. I mean, people literally, I had a student yesterday to email me and say, Dr. K, the best thing that I've ever heard of is Twitter. You know, it's his first time getting on Twitter. And he's one of my students here in one of my marketing e-marketing courses, actually. One of the projects was actually creating a, I think it was a Twitter page. So he actually complained about a company on there, and the company rectified the situation within about 10 minutes of him complaining on Twitter. And so, as I said, it's free advertising. And in today's society, I think when it levels the playing field. Because before, if we think about it, January, all the major corporations had all the major advertising. You know, they had the television and the radio and all the above, and it was very expensive. Now you have Facebook, you have Twitter, you have Pinterest, Instagram, Vimeo, we have Google Plus, and all the above. I don't know if I named Pinterest, but that's another. And let me not forget LinkedIn, you know. And so, yes, so we have all these various outlets that cost little to nothing that we can actually advertise, and which is a lot more the reach is a lot more, you know, it's a worldwide audience that we're reaching out to. So definitely for those small business owners or for those individuals who want to create their own brands, I say go forward and definitely use it to your advantage because it's a great medium. It's probably the best. And research predicts that it's continuing. It's going to continue to grow and expand and so forth and so on. So definitely create that brand via social media.
It's never been an easier or better time to do it, and there's never been a better time for a commercial. So we are going to have a commercial word from our sponsor. And when we come back with Dr. Kay Green, we're going to continue talking about the 13 rules for the New Age professional woman. Also, when we come back, we're going to share Dr. Green's website and tell you how you can get her wonderful book. We'll be right back.
Could your commute or daily exercise routine use a boost? When was the last time you really got the giggles? June is audiobook month, and the producers of Yikes, Another Quirky Audiobook, invite you to tune in, turn on, and let loose a few good laughs. Yikes, Another Quirky Audiobook is about a marijuana enthusiast named Blue McKenna who gets involved in a reality TV show as a way to cure an apocalyptic case of writer's block. A conglomerate of kooky contestants invades the polygamous community of Naval, Utah to compete in a reality show called Yikes. Things get sticky when Blue McKenna's hemp garden is ignited during an ill-fated seance. Find out what's going down in the desert in Yikes, Another Quirky Audiobook. This is Adele Park inviting you to celebrate Audiobook Month on the funny side. Visit www.yikesaudiobook.com. That's www.yikesaudiobook.com.
And if you are taking a road trip this summer, you need to get these audiobooks. Put them in your car, listen to them, play them, and your trip, it'll be wonderful. It'll just fly by. I'm interviewing Dr. K.R. Green, and her book has been called, I've been called the B word. Now, some other possible B words we have are broken, brown, brunette, busy, business orientated, babbling, bad, baffling, bashful, believable, beneficial, benevolent, and benign. I cannot believe how many B words there are in the world, Dr. Green. Isn't it amazing?
Oh, definitely. So many different B words. And when I started thinking about it in January, we started really looking at it and analyzing it. It was just amazing how many different things we've been called over the years.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. And, you know, some of them are quite wonderful. And I think that we have to learn to embrace all of them. Now, we're talking about the 13 rules for the New Age professional woman. We left off with branding. What would be the next rule for my listeners? Oh, before we do that, let's share your website and tell everyone how to get your book.
Definitely. Well, my website is www.drkaygreen.com. That's drkaygreen.com. And you can actually purchase my book on the I've Been Called the B-Word website, which is www.ivebeencalledthebword.com. Mm-hmm. And then also at Barnes & Noble, it's available there, as well as Amazon and several other outlets as well.
Okay. And is your book in Kindle format?
Definitely. It's in Kindle and it's on Kindle and the Nook.
I knew that. That's wonderful. I'm happy to hear that. Now let's talk about what do you do after you finally decide what your brand is going to be and you're ready to go forward. What's another rule for you to remember?
Well, I talk about dress for the career you want, not for the one you have. And uh-huh. Everyone thinks that's a really good rule. And my college students, I always get emails from my college kids talking about dressing for the career that they want, not for the one that they have. And it's all about just really embracing the entire thing, this thing that you want to become. When we talk about developing that personal brand and really finding that passion, as you talked about, January, we want to go a little bit further and put yourself in the mind state again that you are this thing, everything about you. You need to internalize it. I tell people, when you have dreams, you really need to internalize it. It's not just about saying it. We want you to really embody it and embrace it and really take it in and become this thing. So dress for the career. Get mentors in that career. I mean, really ask questions about it. Seek advice. Do the research. All of the above. Everything that you can. Give it 110% to become this thing. So it's all about creating your image, your brand, and really embodying what it is you're trying to become.
You know, I'm a big proponent of people going to seminars, getting out there, meeting other people, networking, connecting. I think that's a way to get outside yourself and create a new environment and new opportunities. Don't you agree?
Definitely. And seeing who's in the market for you and making those right connections. Definitely. Mm-hmm. Creating that right network that works for you. Because networking is very important. And creating that right network, those people who are going to be key in your network, is so important.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Now, what else do we need to do? We've been branded. We're creating a network. What's our next step?
Well, I talk about reinventing, repositioning, and re-strategizing. And
oh, wow.
This chapter, January, was actually inspired because by people that I'd met and I'd come across. I had one family member who actually had to completely reinvent herself in wake of the recession. And I saw people who were in business and who were literally just suffering because, you know, the failure to adapt and change and be responsive and things occurred and the economy and all the above. And so I wrote this chapter based on what my experiences were just with hearing the different encounters with many of the people that I come across. And so when we talk about repositioning, I love the three R's. That's what I call them. But when I talk about repositioning, it's all about when it becomes necessary, when it becomes really clear that the strategy that you're using in your career isn't working. It just it's not working.
Uh-huh.
And you may be getting that negative feedback, and I know that we've all been through this. You may be getting that negative feedback. You may have fallen short of your profits, or you may just feel that lack of personal or professional satisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're talking about repositioning, you want to really run that cost-benefit analysis, you know, and conduct a brand assessment. Analyze your features, your benefits. Look at your target audience. Look at revising your marketing plan and your approach to the market when you're repositioning.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we talk about re-strategizing, you know that it's time to re-strategize when that original strategy that you have, it just has not worked. And you may have attempted to reposition, but it's not led to the results that you want to. You always want to try to get to those results that you want. And so when you're creating a new strategy, you want to consider a couple things. You want to assess each benchmark from your original blueprint. It's always good to go back to the beginning. Take a look at that. Which goals have you achieved? Which ones have you not achieved? And really look at that. And number two, analyze your steps. So your performance. Each performance, you want to analyze your steps from that performance, the ones that you've implemented, and how have they been implemented, have they been effective, have they worked, which ones have not worked. And then as a final point, you may have to go back to the drawing board. Uh-huh. And for many of us, that's commonplace. There's no, I don't think there's, the only thing that we know in life that's going to be constant is change. And so sometimes we have to do things. We really do. And so I tell people, don't be afraid to go back to the drawing board, because you should have a clearer picture of where those problems occurred, and now is the time to define that new strategy.
Mm-hmm.
And when
you
we
know,
talk about reinventing, go ahead.
Yeah, well, we're going to talk about reinventing after our commercial, but I did want to go back to developing your blueprint to success, and that's the first thing that people need to do, and you write about that wonderfully in your book. But, you know, when you do this blueprint, you have to be flexible, just as you said, to reposition and re-strategize, because in today's world, sometimes things don't work. And today's world, things are changing overnight. Don't you agree?
Oh, of course. I can't tell you how many things. I always tell people, I said, breakdowns, drawbacks, setbacks, they're going to happen. I have not seen one plan, January, that has gone 110% the way we plan it. And so you have to have contingency plan A, B, C, and sometimes even D, just to make sure that things that you have, other things that the what-ifs. We always have to consider the what-ifs. And so I tell people, you know, small business, corporations, what have you, always go into it expecting the unexpected. You always have to craft the various plans, various contingency plans, just to ensure that you have the backup, the necessary backup.
Oh, yeah. That is such wonderful advice. We're going to take a break and hear from one of my sponsors. And when we come back with Dr. Kay Green, we're going to talk about reinventing yourself. And that's a big thing to consider in this world. Also, we're going to talk with Dr. Green, and she's going to share with us her regrets and what success means to her, and if she has any advice for you out there who are listening right now. We'll be back with Dr. Kay Green.
Second time around can be better. Second timers try harder. Looking to have a rewarding second marriage, any marriage, read Successful Second Marriages by Patricia Bubash. She interviews a variety of couples that have succeeded in their second attempt. Each story reflects that the second marriages can be tough going, yet be the best of the best. Learn from these couples who share their intimate stories, how they struggled with difficulty and have thrived. Stories such as, our kids drove us apart. We separated 5 times in 4 years. 4 months into our marriage, my 85-year-old father-in-law came to live with us. 1 year into our marriage, I was diagnosed legally blind. Death of my eldest child brought grief, depression into our new marriage. Successful Second Marriages is encouraging, hopeful, inspiring. Available on Amazon.com in book form and ebook. Read Pat's musings at www.successfulsecondmarriages.com.
I highly recommend Pat's book if you're considering a second marriage. I am in my second marriage, and I've been in it for 43 years. I highly recommend Second Marriage, and I recommend Pat's book. Now, Dr. Kay, let's talk about what we need to do when it comes time to reinvent ourselves. This can be a difficult thing, can it?
Oh, of course. Reinventing is all about balling up the paper. Let's say we're painting on the canvas. We're balling the paper up and we're throwing away and we're starting from scratch completely. And that's literally what reinventing is. It's when repositioning, re-strategizing, it just hasn't worked. You've exhausted all of your options. And I know that we've all been there. And it's time, and sometimes we don't know quite what else to do. And this is where we just throw out the old canvas and we start working on a whole new one. And so the question here about the whole reinventing thing, because you hear people, we throw that word around loosely today, but it's all about what is it about me that needs to change? That's what reinventing is all about. So here's some tips that I have for reinventing. I just say, listen, let's just forget everything that you've done to this point, because at this point it's not even relevant anymore. So we're just going to forget everything. And then number two, we're just going to forget. And so number two, you want to decide what you want to be. And sometimes your passion may reinvent you, as you talked about, January. Passion is so important. So sometimes your passion reinvents you. So it's not uncommon for things that we like to do to reinvent us. You know, I always tell people, I say, I want you to think back to when you were a child. Think about some of the things that really interest you, some of the things that you would do without even being paid for it, the things that really bring you that happiness.
You know, that question about would you do it without being paid for, I think that says a lot. You know, like, I have found my passion in doing talk radio, and quite truly, I love doing it, and I would do it for free. And I think once you find something in life that you like doing that much, you're on the right road.
Perfect. Exactly. And that's one of the techniques that I use with my clients. I say, what do you see yourself doing that you would do for free? You know, and sometimes we get a few blank stares, of course. But for the most part, people really, they dig deep and they try to figure out and they think about it. And they say, you know what, you really made a valid point here. This is something that I really, really, really loved. You know, and sometimes it's so far from the career that they may have. And so, again, as I tell them, let's get on that path. And then finally, as I talk about with reinventing, get out and do it. And don't stall. Don't wait. Get out there and take action. For many of us, January, as we know, the first step is always the hardest. We're stepping into the land of unknown. And so when we step into the land of unknown, we're uncertain about the income, and we're uncertain about failure. And for most people, this is what I found, is that we tend to have a fear of failure. What if I don't make it? Or what if I don't get clients? Or what if I'm not good at it? Or what if I fail? Well, what if you don't try at all? Then you'll always live your life with regrets, and we don't want to do that. So you don't have a choice at this point. And I always tell my clients and my students and everyone, I said, convince yourself, now that you've talked yourself out of why you can't do it, you know, why you can do it, let's think about all the reasons why you actually can. Let's do that instead of talking yourself out of it. Because I always hear people, they'll tell me everything about why they can't. And I say, okay, now I've heard all of that. Now let me hear why you can. And let's go ahead and take the first step.
Okay. Now, this is an interesting question, because I end all of my shows with this. I want to know what success means to you and if you have any regrets and what advice you have for my listeners.
Oh, great. Well, I'll tell you this. This success to me, January, is about liking yourself and liking what you do. And I'm at the point in my life and where I am. I'm 110% comfortable with myself and then also what I do. I love marketing. I do. I love marketing. I love relationships. I love talking. I love branding. And I just love it. So I'm literally working in my passion. So this brings me happiness. Having this conversation with you this evening and your listeners and so forth and so on, this is what I love to do. And so, as I said, it's all about liking yourself, having that personal inner peace, because you really like what you do and you really have gotten to the point where you're almost to the point where you're self-actualized, which is really accepting yourself and accepting, you know, everything around you just for what it is. And that to me is success more than anything. And then also becoming the best at what it is you do is very important.
Yeah. And does Dr. Green have any regrets?
I have a ton of things that I didn't do right, but sometimes it just seems like I have a couple of those. I once brought, and I put this in my book, January, I once brought these red box-like machines. And when I get myself fixated on something, you can't stop me. You know, you just can't. And so I bought these machines, and they were a horrible investment for me, you know, horrible. And so I'm not without those drawbacks. But I can tell you, from that experience, I learned how to negotiate the contracts. I learned how to go out and speak with different owners and things of that nature. I learned about inventory and all these different aspects of business that I wasn't exposed to prior.
Mm-hmm.
So would I consider it a regret? I wouldn't consider it a regret, but I would consider it a really, really valuable learning lesson. I'm going to say that. That was a learning lesson. But I learned so many different things. Now, would I do it again? Of course not. But it was definitely a teachable moment. I'm going to say that.
Well, you know, my own feeling, having lived as long as I have, is that a life without regrets isn't a life well lived, because you have to get out there. You have to put yourself on the line. You have to try things. And a part of that, a big part of everyone's success story, as you and I both know, are the failures. And without failure, you don't learn the big lessons, do you?
No, of course not. Of course not. When I sold those machines, I can tell you that it was probably the single greatest day of my life. But I started that. And I immediately had the brainchild for, you know, my next business, of course, and what I wanted to do next. Because every time I end one thing, I'm always on to the next thing. I think life is just this huge, continuous journey, you know, and you can never stop learning and evolving and becoming better and greater and taking on new things. And so after I sold those my machines, I moved on to the next thing. And I became, as I said, I was more well-equipped to handle certain scenarios and aspects of business. So it definitely worked on my end.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, we always share with our listeners that my philosophy is when one door closes, another door opens, and you need to be brave enough to walk through that door, because unless you walk through that door, you will never find out what the possibilities are, what the opportunities are. And, you know, we all experience the good, the bad, and the ugly, but somehow we get through it, don't we?
Oh, we do. We do. And it, you know what it comes from, January? How resilient you are. You have to be resilient. And in business, I tell people, I hear no's all the time. You know, people would say, well, Dr. K, you can't hear, if there's no way you can hear no's. I say, I hear it more, probably more than you. I hear no's all the time, but if I can just hear that one yes, one yes, January, I know that there's opportunity there. And that's just the way I look at things. And sometimes, and I often tweet about this, and I talk about this a lot, it's always about the way we look at things. Is the glass half empty or is it half full?
Right.
You know, when one door closes, hey, there's going to be another one that if you keep going and you keep and you're being persistent and you're really diligent at what you're doing and what you're passionate about, someone somewhere is going to give you that opportunity or allow you that opportunity, or you look for those opportunities, all of the above. So it's definitely, breakdowns happen, doors close, and you definitely will hear no's. But the key to it is sticking to it and committing to it and being dedicated to it.
Well, you know, Dr. Green, I want to hear a big yes from you. I want to hear that you will come back and visit us again.
Oh, that's a triple yes. Of course, I love your show and I love being on it, and we always have such a great time.
We sure do. To my wonderful listeners, we hope you've enjoyed our show today. My upcoming guests for the rest of the week are all exciting, energizing, eclectic. They will amuse, amaze, and they will astonish you. This is the show where you hear inspiring information that will help you to become successful too. I would personally love to welcome you to our wonderful No Whining world. We love sharing our stories, struggles, and secrets for success. It's our hope that we can encourage all of you to emulate our guests like Dr. K today and every day. Now remember my mantra, if you think it, then you can do it. So for now, dear listeners, please stop whining and then start smiling and then start sharing our success show with everyone you know. And if that doesn't work, then you can start eating chocolate.
lots and lots of chocolate. Again, thank you to my wonderful guest and dear friend, Dr. Kay Green. This is January Jones thanking you for joining me today on my journey and reminding you to take care and stay safe.
We want to thank you for listening to January Jones Sharing Success Story. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra, if you can think it, you can do it. That's what all of our guests have done with their lives, and so can you. You are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own story with your family and friends. We hope that our guest stories will encourage you to explore an equation in your future that will combine your creativity plus connecting with others will enable you to be successful too. Always remember, your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity as you explore the wonderful world of January Jones.
Other ladies awning over the side here. I don't know what we were thinking to do. Maybe just clear plastic. She only did one quick pee.
She what?
One very quick pee.
Thank you.